Good. It's nice to see everybody here. This is the seminar on practical conversations for living in the city, and we hope that's what it'll be, a conversation and not just a monologue up here, but we hope to throw some things out that will start a healthy discussion that'll last far beyond this hour this morning. So if I can, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to introduce our panel up here, and we'll get rolling. So let's pray together. Our Lord God, we do give you praise as the author of this new and unused day. We acknowledge that this is a day that you have made, and we are called to rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we do rejoice, and we are glad because you have sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins and to be raised again for our justification so that we might have new life in him. And we thank you for that new life. And we thank you, Father, that before the foundation of the world, you have chosen to pour out that new life reality upon the nations. And we pray that you would continue to challenge us and encourage us with that great truth as we think about it in the context of this city and urban environments in general. Lord, we ask that you would bless our hour together and that you would allow the thoughts of this hour to spill over into the context that you've called us to live in. And we pray that Jesus would be glorified, and in his name, amen. So you're going to hear the stories briefly of the three of us up here of why we're living in the city. But let me just say, I'm Jonathan. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. My wife is Rachel. We have four children. We live seven blocks south of the church here. Depending on whether or not you're a realtor, we live in South Philadelphia. If you're a realtor, we live in Southwest Center City or Center City or Grad Hospital area. But at any rate, we're below South Street, which at least historically is South Philadelphia. Janice Roberts here lives in the Dorchester, right on Rittenhouse Square. She and her husband, Stan, live there, and she's a deaconess here at 10th Church and has been here about a decade. And then also to my left is Mr. Dan Widener. Dan lives with his wife, Amy, and three boys, Jay, Branch, and Gar. And they live on 3rd and Bainbridge.
Dickinson.
3rd and Dickinson, that's right, sorry. Which is also in South Philadelphia, and it's a little deeper South Philadelphia. But you're going to hear a little bit of all of our stories in just a little bit. We hope to have at least half an hour of Q&A. And again, this is meant to be a discussion about living in the city, what it means and doesn't mean, both pros and cons, et cetera, et cetera. We know that we're not going to be answering all of your questions. In fact, I think we wouldn't be doing our job if we actually answered all of your questions. Because that would assume we know more things than we do. If you're connected to 10th Church, so I recognize I'm not talking to all of you. If you are connected to 10th Church, you are intrinsically connected to this city. If you're connected to 10th Church, you are intrinsically connected to the city because you worship here. We're going to springboard off of that in just a few moments, but I want you to be thinking about that reality as we move forward. I want to give you a few statistics, not unrelated to the things that we were talking about last night, if you were here. If you weren't here last night, I know some of our Maranatha students, high school and junior high students, were not here last night. I would strongly encourage you, I don't know if there's a system for this, if Carol's in here or not, but strongly encourage you to listen to the two talks, maybe even as a group, that we heard last night. Profoundly informative and a very important backbone to the rest of the weekend and really the rest of the things that you guys are trying to do in general as you think missionally in this city. So I would encourage that. But these statistics are not unrelated to last night, and this is where we're going to start from. There is approximately, as many of you will know, upwards of 7 billion people in the world, and close to 50% of those people, 48, 52, it depends, you know, who you talk to, live in urban environments. That's a reality, that 50% of the world approximately lives in urban environments, and the projection is that 60% of the world by 2025 will live in an urban environment. 60% of the world will live in cities broadly defined. Just a few Philadelphia statistics. This is kind of interesting. Almost a third of the city, and it's actually represented here in this room, almost a third of the city is under 34. Almost a third of the city is my age, I'm 35, or younger. And as we heard last night, 300,000 or so of the people in the city are either attending college or graduate school. Another interesting statistic, about 90% of people that come to faith before the age of 30. About 90% of people that come to faith before the age of 30. Another interesting thing, and this will be my last sort of statistic, we talked again about this last night, it's not really a statistic, it's a reality, that, and I think it's very important as we think about living in the city, that the dichotomy between foreign missions and local missions is coming together in the globalization of the world. A fancy missional term is glocal, where global and local are coming together. If you want to be a world missionary, all you have to do is move into a city, and the whole world is there. Urban is the new global, as we heard last night. There is a globalization or glocalization reality about us. Now, in light of some of those things, consciously or not, 10th Church over the last few years, in light of a strategic planning season, has decided to have a greater recommitment to the city of Philadelphia. And we've made a lot of resource decisions that would indicate that. The hiring of Paul Tripp, the realignment of my job description, the hiring of Ann Davies, even the greater upbuilding of this particular ministry conference, and a variety of other things. And so the leadership of this church has decided that we need to be more intentional or re-intentional about the city around us. And the three of us live in this city, and we're up here just to begin a conversation for you guys, with you guys, I should say, about ministry living in the city. Dan's going to give us a few historical facts, kind of like we did last night, that I think are relevant as we're moving forward.
Next, I am fairly new to 10th within the last 2 years, so I've enjoyed the process of understanding a little more of the church's history. And part of the planning and kind of strategic planning process that the church has been on over the last few years has resulted in these little video clips on the church's website, and they're just gold. But one of them walks you through the history of 10th Church. And so in doing a little research there, as well as a couple other resources, I have been encouraged, very encouraged by the, I guess I'd call it the weightiness of the history of 10th Church and faithful gospel presence in the city. The church was founded in 1829, but this building was actually a church plant of the original 10th Church. So the original 10th Church, I believe, was at 10th or 12th and Walnut, and this was the western suburbs of Philadelphia at the time, which tells you how long ago it was. And they decided to plant a church here. The architect of City Hall was part of the planning and design of this building, so there's a significant connection, again, with the DNA of the city as far as just the pure architecture and the presence of the city. At the time that this place was built, with its steeple, it was the tallest building in Philadelphia, which was one of the major cities of the world at the time. And that's a little more on the kind of the city-urban side. On the gospel side of things, it's interesting now that we hope, and we continue to hope, to see generations raised up that will live as evangelical believers in Jesus in urban centers of the world. And interestingly enough, in 1927, when Dr. Barnhouse came here, he was thinking the same thing, because in the late 1900s, people were streaming out of Philadelphia, going to the suburbs as they were starting to develop. And he called for a renewal to say, no, this church must stay and remain faithful to the gospel here in Philadelphia. And so this makes me think, you know, this church for 180 years has had a faithful gospel witness here in Philadelphia. The average Christian church probably lasts less than 10 years. It may be less than that. And I think that bears witness to men and women trusting God to stay here and make hard decisions. I think furthermore, it bears witness to a faithful God who will sustain his church down through the ages. And so as we sit here, we sit with a certain weight of history, of the desire for Christians to permeate the world, to take the gospel to all nations, and that's really what we want to talk about today.
And as Dan and Jonathan have just said, we're unashamed about our vision for this workshop this morning. We sincerely hope that by the end of this hour, that at least some of you will consider to come and live within walking distance of the church where you worship. For many of you, that's 10th. And many of you, of course, live in the suburbs. So we'll find out how successful we are in 45 minutes when we take a roll call vote and find out how many people want to work in the city.
And another way of saying that is that geography matters. And we hope that if that's not something you already believe or working in light of for the sake of the kingdom, that you will, that geography matters.
Okay. You want to give your, is it me? Mm-hmm. All right, so now we're going to take a couple minutes and share our brief stories. And as we go along, if you want to take any notes, basically I'm going to tell my story of how I landed here in the city. Never planned on it 10 years ago, but God has brought me in a process, my family and I. And so just take some notes because we will have, as all of us share, and it could be anything. So we do desire for this to be very practical. What does it mean? We'll get into all kinds of things, hopefully touching on some of the major themes. And again, if you're here visiting us, you don't go to 10th, or you live somewhere else, and you're connected with another church or in another location, another city, I hope that some of these things, we anticipate that a number of these things will be transferable, very much what we heard last night, saying, you know, we need to wrestle with these questions of how do we not just attract people to hear the good news of Jesus, but we go and connect with them. So here's my story. My wife and I spent 6 years serving as missionaries in Shanghai, China. And so it was fun last night to hear, Mark show some pictures of our old town. It was a huge treat for me. And think about that city of 15 to 20 million, depending on the day of the week and who's counting. And it was there that we started to wrestle with how do you establish a Christian presence in the world's great cities. As we see this city of Shanghai grow and become an influential center in all of Asia and soon enough the world, that we started thinking, you know, there needs to be a Christian voice for Christ here in the city. And so as we started thinking of that, we turned to a number of different materials, and the writings of James Boyce have been very influential in our process. He was a pastor here for decades. And he argues very articulately in a book called Two Cities, Two Loves. If you can find it, get it. It's I think it's out of print. We're hunting down copies. You might find one on an old bookshelf somewhere. Get it and hold on to that thing. It's gold. But he argues that there's a great need for Christians to live in the cities. And all the more so, and this is where we hope to bring a little heat to all of us here in the room, because evangelicals have been particularly unwilling to live in cities. That the evangelical strongholds are generally outside of city centers of the world. It's not just an American problem. If you go to Europe, they're not in London. They're outside of London. They're not in Paris. They're outside. So if you look around the world, the temptation is always for believers and lots of people, but believers particularly, to be unwilling to go to those city centers. And so for our story, a number of factors brought us back to the U.S. and out of full-time vocational ministry, and a job became available in a little family business here in this area. So as my wife and I started thinking, what would the Lord have for us next? Part of that process for us was intentionally choosing to move and live within the city limits of Philadelphia. And as close as we could get to 10th, that was our desire. And also, oddly enough, my job is over in Jersey. So I'm doing a reverse commute. I'm living here, paying taxes in Philly, and going that way every day in the one lane that they open up on the Ben Franklin Bridge. And that's me, laughing at all the people from Jersey who are piling in on the other side. And so there's a certain level, this is where we get down to the practicality of it, there's a certain level that we are taking on additional expenses, certainly additional trouble, to choose to live here in the city when I'm actually working in Jersey. So we could talk about that if you want to talk about that further as we get closer to our Q&A. We have three boys, and when we moved, our oldest was four, and we knew that the school years were rapidly approaching. And so we did, part of our moving process was doing a ton of work trying to crack the Philadelphia school district nut. We really wanted, as much as possible, should the Lord allow, to put our kids in public school and have a generally good environment for them in their education. If you know anything about the Philadelphia school district, or probably any urban school district, tremendously under-resourced. And so we feel a tremendous burden going into these schools, and they say, hey, we'd love to have you, we'd love to talk to you, but we don't even have somebody here on staff who could meet with you and talk with you about your kid coming to school here. And so there's just a burden of saying, you know, how are we going to navigate this mess? And yet as we're going, we're saying, hey, we're buying a house, we're moving to Philadelphia, we're just going to trust the Lord that we'll be able to figure out this school thing. And it was just another challenge to live in life here in the city. And I'd say, in short, as I wrap up, the big three challenges to living in the city, which are probably going on in your minds right now, the first is cost, that real estate generally costs more, a gallon of milk costs more. There's just a general expense to living in the city. There's a general cost of admission to live here. The second of the big challenges is schools. If you're thinking about raising a family here in the city, you have to figure out the school thing. It's a significant deal. And lastly, it's safety. The city, in certain levels, is... you know, it's not as bad as I think it's a reputation, but there's certainly a reality of, you know, something as simple as car break-ins to much more significant violence. So in some ways, you cannot get around those things if you want to think about living life here in the city and taking up the challenge that we've laid forth this morning. But you can trust in a faithful God who will walk with you through them. You can't get around them. You've got to go through them. You've got to take your whippings. And so you got to trust a God who will be with you through those things. And I would say, argue on the other side, there's tremendous blessing. In our school situation, we've met parents who are, I don't know how to say this other than they're very secular in their thinking. Some are very anti-religion, very anti, but the general urban dweller is very secular in their thinking. And so we are able to get in connection with them and kind of bust their paradigms a little bit. And so that has been one of the blessings of living here. And so we trust that as we move on, that God will give us boldness and wisdom to bear faithful witness to the good news of Jesus, because that's why we're here.
Thank you, Dan. My story and Stan's story is a little bit different. We live three blocks away from the church in Rittenhouse Square, which in the vernacular of when I was growing up would be considered on the other side of the tracks. If you're familiar with any of the new buildings in Rittenhouse Square, you probably know that the building going up on the corner of 18th and Walnut has a starting price for studio apartments of $1.3 million. And I'm sure there's a realtor here who can confirm that. It's a very expensive neighborhood. It's a place where career people tend to come. Usually, if you have children, I've noticed in Rittenhouse Square, generally, a year old, they play in the square. By the time they're 18 months, the parents have pulled up stakes and moved out. Because, as Dan said, the tendency, particularly if you have children, is to move out. However, Stan and I have had a wonderful time here in the last 9 years. We came here as two totally self-absorbed career people who were after getting the last bit out of our careers and then retired to the good life. And very early in our stay here, God brought us to 10th. Stan had come down early. He was living here before I did. And being Episcopal, he was out in the square looking for an Episcopal church that would be open. And it was after 4 o'clock, so they were all closed. And he just started to take a walk. And his walk brought him to Spruce Street. And he heard singing coming out of a building that looked like a church. He was attracted by the singing, so he went in, and providentially, he was seated right behind the husband and wife team of the people who supported Jim Boyce as their administrative assistants. And we started coming here, and I have to tell you that this church totally changed our lives. We didn't want to live farther than three blocks from here because we wanted to be involved in everything And when you live three blocks away, you can be involved in everything. We've even volunteered as the snow shovelers. If they run into a problem with a storm and they don't have enough sextons, please call us. So far, we haven't been called, so.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, it was probably a good
Praise
thing.
Lord.
But meetings are not a burden if the church meeting is three blocks away. So I became a deaconess about 6 years ago. I'm currently on sabbatical. Stan is an advisor to the trustees, and he's on the music committee. And we unashamedly love this church. Now, how does that relate to our living in the community? Dan's neighbors are a different kind of challenge than our neighbors are. Most of the people who live in Rittenhouse Square don't have any real physical needs. They have enough money to buy anything that they want. In fact, within walking distance of Rittenhouse Square, you can get any restaurant, any delicacy, anything that you would want, and usually 24/7. But our neighbors are mostly Jewish. They don't look terribly kindly on Gentiles and particularly on Christians. But over the years, we've been able to make connections. When you're walking out on Sunday morning and you've got a Bible in your hand, people notice. And one of the chief reasons to walk to church, and when you all start to live in the city, you'll realize this, there'll be hundreds of people walking to church with their Bibles in their hands. What would that say to this community of Philadelphia? Is that a connection that we can establish? Essentially, it can be done, and it just needs more of us. It needs volumes of people, of Christians, who are committed to living a Christian life in the city. And I got to tell you, it's not easy. The sidewalks are crowded. Some of the people on the sidewalks are what I would consider uncivilized in their behavior. They will try to knock you over as soon as not, and it can sometimes get tense. Do I always smile and turn the other cheek? No. There are many, many challenges throughout the day because you live your life more on the street than you do in the suburbs. You see the woman struggling with a baby carriage, trying to get the carriage and the two kids into a store, and you run over and you help. Four kids, Jonathan has reminded me in his case. You see people living their lives on the street, and you have such an amazing opportunity to connect with them in some small way. As Steve was saying last night, maybe you don't hand out tracts necessarily. That is probably not our ministry. But letting people know that we're Christians is very important. And all of the merchants in Reading Terminal know us by name. We ask for their families. They ask for us. They know we're Christians. And it is our hope and prayer that as God continues to use us in our life in the city, that people will sometimes, as our neighbors have recently said, pray for me. I'm going through a tough time. And that's such a tremendous challenge. And it's only by living in the city and with people, even if you don't even know very much about them, that you can have that Christian presence. And that's what we sincerely desire that the Lord will use us for in our life in the city.
I want to briefly give you just a little bit of mine and Rachel's history moving into the city. And I want to qualify everything that I'm going to say by saying I'm a guest of the city of Philadelphia. I'm not a Philadelphian. I lived in Easton, an hour and a half north of here, until I was 10. And then we lived down in the south. And I think if we stay where we stay, which is 18th and Christian, so a block over and seven blocks down, for the rest of our lives, Rachel and I were talking about this last night, I'll still be a guest of Philadelphia. I'm not from here, even though I am here and I live here. I'm not actually from here. In fact, the neighborhood that I live in is more my kids' neighborhood because that's all they know than it is my neighborhood. I have things to contrast my neighborhood with, but my kids are actually from 18th and Christian. So I want to qualify what I'm saying, and in many ways, all the things we're saying with the fact that I'm a guest. I'm on somebody else's turf. But Rachel and I made a decision almost 7 years ago to move into where we did because I felt like if I was going to be a pastor of 10th Church, I needed to live as close as I could to the church, so that I could, much like a foreign missionary moves to a place to become competent in a culture or in a civilization, right? They become a student of a place. They become someone who's intentionally listening and seeing and smelling and tasting and feeling and making mistakes in someone else's place so they can be a better tool of the Lord there. That's what Rachel and I felt like we needed to do. And we didn't really know what that meant because Rachel's from middle of nowhere, rural South Georgia. I mean, you have to get in a car to get to her parents' mailbox. I'm not kidding. It's crazy. It's just, we go down there and visit her parents, and my kids are just so confused because there's so much space. It's interesting. Last time we were there, I asked my kids, what do they think is different about South Georgia and Philadelphia? And they said, there's no sidewalks here. And there's no people. This is a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old that said that. Now, of course, we had to explain there are people here and there are sidewalks, and it's okay, but it was interesting, their perception. We moved into a community that's really bizarre because it has some of what Janice has actually on our block, and then it also has people that have lived there. I was just talking to a neighbor yesterday who's been there his whole life. He's 75 and has just always struggled materially and financially and just really bitter about it and really wants to be somewhere else and can't be. Then you have people that have bought houses on my block that sold for $650,000. It's just a very confusing place. Maybe I fit in really well there. I don't know. I'm a pretty confusing guy, but it's pretty simple for us. We felt like if we were going to be involved with 10th, granted, I'm a pastor here, so I recognize, it's a little different than some of your stories or even the stories up here. We really felt like we needed to be close so that the neighborhood of 10th, or at least the neighborhood around the building where people from 10th worship, which is an important qualification, I needed to begin to own that, and it needed to become part of my life. And I consider myself a student, not an expert by any means, of this area, which is a profoundly diverse area. One thing that's significant, greater or lesser to you, is we don't have a car, and we have 4 little kids. Under 7 right now. That's a significant variable in our lives. Our car broke down 2.5 years ago, and Rachel said, let's see what it's like. And we're still seeing what it's like. But it's very significant missionally for us to not have a car. And I could, maybe explain a little bit more of that later. Because I think it's relevant to some of the cost issues, some of the walkability issues, some of the cultural competency issues, that we're not just riding by things, but we're constantly on shared space, with this city. I don't say that to say that's necessarily the right thing to do or the best thing to do or the only thing to do or pat Jonathan on the back. He doesn't have a car. It's hard. It's real hard at times. And I could talk about that as well. We feel really honored to be in a place where the whole world is. There's a shop on 18th and South called Azaro's. Some of you know it. We got good pizza there. And the guys that work in there are all from Morocco. And we've traveled in Muslim countries before. The 2 older kids have. And these guys are my daughter, Christabella, our almost 3-year-old, they're like her best friends. We budget extra time almost every time we walk down 18th Street because it's a missional event for us to walk by Lazaro's. And if one of them sees Christabella, they call the other ones out. If you ever walked with me down that way, you know it. It's pretty cool for us that, some of the closest people in our kids' lives are from different parts of the world, who've had no or limited exposure to Christianity, and they're here. and speaking a different tongue, you know, than English, and that's a good thing for our kids, because it makes every tribe, tongue, and nation alive for my children when they step out of their house onto their stoop and start walking the streets of Philly. That's a little bit of where we're coming from, and Dan's going to spearhead our Q&A time, I think, here.
Yeah, I think just in closing of our comments, I hope you get this element of, at one level, boy, that's not real profound, because it really is a ministry of showing up, and I think that's one of the transferable ideas that you can, wherever you're at, if you're in high school, if you are, wherever you're living, that there's a certain element of our lives as believers where it's a ministry of showing up. That as we live out the gospel that is that we believe, that we are living it before others, wherever that is. For us, we've chosen to do that here in the city. I think there's particular challenges to that, I would argue. And so I think there's a level where we're just saying, you know, we're just trying to live our lives as believers here in the city. I live my life in the city. That's the kind of the theme that we take, but I think there's a greater concept there that you could go with. We've got a good 20, 25 minutes for any questions or comments or discussion. I do want to say this. I know there's a number of folks here in the room, Steve, my friend Greg, a number of others who are living here in the city, raising families, have their kids in the schools, have moved here from other places, and understand that. I'd invite their comments. For any kids in Maranatha who grew up in the city, we would love for you to throw in on this conversation and jump in willingly to engage in this discussion.
One last comment. So you heard last night that, you know, Philadelphia has lost population. That's actually reversing. More people are moving in. And I think that's something that Christians need to be aware of, that people are moving into this place. And I think we think Christians need to proactively respond to that. So that's part of where we're coming from.
Now, as I was talking about that building on Walnut and 18th that's going up with the expensive apartments, my husband Stan was challenging a group of us one night at dinner, saying, how is 10th going to intentionally reach out to people who are buying millions of dollars worth of apartments? Is it wrong to reach out to the rich? Is it wrong to befriend them and to encourage them that there's a church three blocks away where we feel that they would be comfortable and happy to worship together with us? How do we reach these people? We don't reach them through the traditional mediums, because they're coming in. Most of them don't know other people. They're coming in from out of town, usually for business reasons. And it's a tendency, go to the office, come home, or go to a restaurant or something like that. How do we as a community reach out? And I'll just say one other thing before we get to Q&A. One thing I've been involved with in the last 6 years is the Red Cross blood drive here at church. I know some of you all have participated in that. We do it twice a year. And oddly enough, of the 55 to 65 pints of blood that we collect each blood drive, most of it comes from people off the street. And those of you who know Paul Jones, you can picture him dressed up as the blood drop, you know, Buddy the blood drop in a red suit. And he and I stand out in the corner and we invite people walking by, hi, how would you like to come and donate blood today?
With a bow tie. You know, Paul Jones is doing that with a bow tie.
Yeah, yeah. And it's become fun. It's become an adventure. It's a lot of work. But we literally go through Rittenhouse Square, park bench by park bench, and invite kids hanging out after school. How would you like to donate blood today at 10th Presbyterian Church? What church? Well, it's just three blocks away. I'll show you. And we have had huge response in this way of getting people who are not Christians, and mostly intentionally not Christians, to come into our church. Now, of course, we've got some plants along the way. When you get to the refreshment table, you're likely to run into Jay Hood, and before he died, George Burkett would be sitting there talking. And when people are sitting there, you know, holding their arm up like this, they look around and say, what kind of church is this? What an opportunity for the Christians who are here to be able to tell them what kind of church it is. So that's the outreach that 10th is involved with.